This morning, our opening scripture is from Psalms 106, verse 7 and 8. And in Psalms 106, God has delivered the Israelites from captivity in Egypt, but they don't always understand what God has done for them, and they rebel at times. Now, this is from the Common English Bible. Our ancestors in Egypt didn't understand your wondrous works. They didn't remember how much faithful love you have. So they rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. But God saved them for the sake of his good name, to make known his mighty power. This is God's word for his people. So at this time, please join me in prayer. Dear gracious and loving God, we come to you with praise and thankfulness for our many blessings. We are thankful and blessed to be able to worship you freely in a free land. We know you are a kind, loving God and will not forsake us, even when we stray and rebel, like the Israelites did. We thank you for the harvest and the beautiful fall colors of the trees. We pray for the safety of the farmers as they continue their harvesting. Lord, we especially pray for our church family, those that have been listed on our bulletin today. We know some have hurting and heavy hearts that have lost loved ones, or some may have turmoil, confusion, and doubting in their lives. Some are in need of healing for health issues. We just ask you to give comfort, courage, peace, and your healing touch for those that need it. May they feel your presence. Help us to reach out to others in their time of need, and help us to reach out to others that do not know you. We thank you for the doctors, nurses, and medical professionals and their expertise and compassion. We thank you for mending broken bones and for healing wounds. Please continue to be with the rescue and emergency workers that are working with the hurricane victims in Florida and other places. Give all involved strength and patience to deal with the loss and the rebuilding. Lord, bless our military men and women and keep them safe as they serve our country to keep it free. And Lord, we thank you for Pastor Ben. Continue giving him strength as he serves you and our congregation. May our hearts and minds be open to his message. We ask all this in your dear name. Amen. And now, will you please join me in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Author of life, you meet us in our need. Your love and grace surround us. When our world gets turned upside down, you carry us through the trials of life. Your power gives us the strength to find healing and comfort each day. Receive these gifts as signs of our thanks. Accept our praise for your many blessings. Receive our very lives that we may serve you in the ministry of your church. Amen. Our gospel reading this morning comes from the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, verses 41 through 48. Hear now the words from our Lord. Peter said, "Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for everyone?" The Lord replied, "Who are the faithful and wise managers whom the master will put in charge of his household servants to give them their food at the proper time? Happy are the servants whom the master finds fulfilling their responsibilities when he comes. I assure you that the master will put them in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that these servants should say to themselves, 'My master is taking his time about coming.' And suppose they began to beat the servants, both men and women, and to eat, drink, and get drunk. The master of those servants would come on a day when they weren't expecting him, at a time they couldn't predict. The master will cut them into pieces and assign them a place with the unfaithful. That servant who knew his master's will, but didn't prepare for it or act on it, will be beaten severely. The one who didn't know the master's will, but who did things deserving punishment, will be beaten only a little. Much will be demanded from everyone who has been given much, and from the one who has been entrusted with much, even more will be asked." This is the word from our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we come before you this morning thankful for this opportunity that we've been given to gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ, to be able to lift up your name in prayer and in praise, to practice generosity. And now, Lord, we come to this scripture reading this morning from Luke. May our hearts and minds be open to receive that which your Spirit would have us receive this morning. And may the words from my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you in your sight. For you, Lord, are our rock and our redeemer, now and forever. Amen. So I'm sure that we've all found ourselves in this kind of a situation before. We're at our jobs, or maybe even at school. We have our bosses, our supervisors, our teachers going through and telling us all these things that need to get done. Almost a litany of things, assignments that need to be taken care of. But it seems like the boss is talking to you particularly. And so you have to ask the question, is this just for me or is this for everyone too? Right? And it seems small and it seems inconsequential, but there's a part of you that just kind of needs to know if you're going to be alone in the obligations here or not. I mean, it's almost as though there'd be some kind of relief that would come along knowing that you weren't the only one or one of a very few select. Almost like if everyone else is doing it, maybe I have less responsibility then. You know, share the burden, share the load. Either that or we just don't want to be held accountable for something that nobody else has to do as well. As though being solely responsible for something would be completely unfair. Right? I mean, how fair would that be if the teacher gives you, the only person, the assignment, and no one else in the classroom or your boss pulls the same stunt on you? Well, Jesus, just before this question from Peter comes up, Jesus had just shared a parable about people waiting for their master to come home for a wedding celebration. Now, in this waiting, there is a readiness that is involved. They are making sure that there is plenty of oil in the lamp so that the master can see when he arrives home, perhaps having some food at the ready in case he's hungry when he arrives. These servants, they don't know when their master will be back. And so remaining ever ready is not only the smart thing to do, but we also find in the parable that Jesus had just shared, it's also the rewarding thing to do. Because upon coming home and realizing that these servants cared enough to not just follow instructions, but also to wait up for him, out of gratitude, the servants wind up being fed this feast. Because the master was so pleased with them, he sat them down at the table and he served them. Now there's an obvious correlation being made here between the master in this parable and the human one, being Jesus Christ, as both are coming at a time when we least expect it. We encounter Jesus in moments in our life where we least expect him. Have you ever been on a hike and the people that you're walking with say, "Oh, look, there's a deer right there in the woods." Or, "Oh, look at that squirrel that's scrambling up the tree right there." But you missed it. I can't tell you how many times going through and hiking through the woods, you know, we pointed out a squirrel to our kids, and it's like, it's right there. Where? Where is it? Where is it? It's right there. No, where? Next thing you know, the squirrel's gone. Those moments where you realize that you miss the life around you because you stop and you realize, oh, I've been so stuck up in my head. I wasn't looking around. I was too busy staring at my feet, trudging along the path to actually pay attention to the life that is going on around me. We've been there, done that. We've missed the deer that's 50 meters off into the woods. Then all of a sudden we hear the crack of the brush as the deer all of a sudden flipped its tail up and ran deeper into the woods, and we realize, ah, missed it. Well, that's not unlike identifying the works of God in our lives. Oftentimes, when we have experiences with Jesus in our lives, we find ourselves surprised as to the timing of when those experiences happened. We've all heard the phrase that God works in mysterious ways, right? Well, the thing about God working in mysterious ways also means that we don't always see God while God is at work. Because those ways are mysterious. I know, it's a blatantly obvious fill in the blank I just gave y'all, but it's true. Because sometimes we miss the most obvious God moments in our lives because we've been so busy, stuck up in our heads. We've been so busy trying to make sure we were on the plan or on the path. We were just so busy that we weren't practicing being aware of the moments when they come up in our lives. You know, it's an odd feeling to realize that you can experience peace even when the stress levels in your life seem to be overwhelming. Ever had that moment before? When you realize, oh wait, God is still with me even in the midst of this. It's a God moment when you realize that the right people show up for you in your greatest time of need. The trick is, though, is to have the awareness to recognize that Jesus has shown up in your life, to be aware that God has shown up in your life, to be aware of it. Because when we don't allow ourselves to be aware or ready to receive Jesus in those difficult moments in life, when we don't allow ourselves to be aware of God's love whenever it randomly seems to spring up in the midst of our lives, then it's like we slept in and missed the blessing of that peace that was being offered to us. It's like we missed seeing that deer before it fled deeper into the woods because we were so busy focusing on ourselves or focusing on our plights or focusing on what's the right thing to do. Well, who's defining the right thing to do? It's like we slept in and missed the blessings of that peace when we're not allowing ourselves to be aware or practicing that awareness. So in that parable that Jesus shares, he's talking about these servants that are remaining ever vigilant throughout the night, that are staying up and remaining ever aware. And admittedly, remaining ever vigilant and constantly aware can be a difficult thing to do. It can be incredibly hard for us to do. Being aware of the presence of Christ in your life, it calls us to constantly practice these disciplines of the Christian faith, like prayer and scripture reading and gathering together with brothers and sisters to share our faith and to worship with one another. And we're not doing those things because they're hard and fast rules that God is dictating to us, but it's for us to be able to recognize and receive these blessings of God when they come. Because when we're practicing these disciplines of the Christian faith, we are doing what? We are being aware. We're keeping our eyes open to see how God is blessing us. Are these good practices for us to keep up? Absolutely. But you know, eating your vegetables every day and exercising are also incredibly good things for us to do on a daily basis. But do we do it? No, we don't. You know? It's like, I know I should be eating my green beans every day. But you know what? If my cholesterol isn't lowered immediately the next day, it's so much easier to say, well, that didn't do me any good, and just stop. You know, if you don't have a ripped six-pack after doing 50 crunches yesterday, after doing 30 crunches yesterday, after doing one yesterday, it's easy to say, well, that did me no good. Why bother again? By the way, I don't have a ripped six-pack. And I certainly don't eat my green beans every day. It's like if we don't get an immediate payoff, we're not going to remain as vigilant or aware about doing it, right? We don't want to put in the patience, the time. We ain't got time for that. Come on. So in a way, it's not surprising for Peter to ask Jesus immediately following the story about remaining ever vigilant. Asking Jesus this question, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for everyone? Hence my opening. Because I tell you what, I'm not entirely sure why Peter asked this question. It might have been hearing about this banquet that the master put forth for the servants to remain vigilant. And Peter might be like, well, I just want to share this with just me and my 11 closest friends. And so that might have been the reason why he was asking, is this just for us disciples or is this for everyone? It might have also been the realization that, you know what, I don't want to be the only one having to remain vigilant for something that may or may not pay off for me immediately. So maybe Jesus is asking this of everyone around me. It might even be that Peter realized, I'm not going to be able to stay vigilant without the help and accountability of other people around me. So there might be a huge number of reasons why Peter might be asking, Lord, is this just for us or is this for everyone involved? For everyone around us right now? And then Jesus answers with his own question, because Jesus can be annoying like that sometimes. Hey, let's ask Jesus a question, get another question in return. Very Aristotelian of you. Thank you, Jesus. But Jesus instead returns with this question, who are the faithful and wise managers whom the master will put in charge of his household servants to give them their food at the proper time? Happy are the servants whom the master finds fulfilling their responsibilities when he comes. I assure you that the master will put them in charge of all his possessions. Basically, Jesus answers Peter by saying, I'm saying this to anyone who is willing to listen and to take heed. This is for everyone. Not just you, not just your 11 closest bros right there. This is for everyone. For the gospel writer, what Luke is communicating here for the reader then is that it doesn't matter your pedigree. It doesn't matter if you are one of the disciples. It doesn't matter if you are a Jew. It doesn't matter if you are a Gentile. All that matters is, are you being faithful to the Master? Are you being faithful to Jesus Christ, the human one? Then you will be able to reap the benefits of your faithfulness, such as being able to identify and experience God's love, mercy, compassion, joy, and peace in your life when it comes along, whenever it comes along. By placing yourself in a position of constantly practicing awareness, you are placing yourself in a position to constantly be ready to receive love. If you constantly allow yourself to be open to the experience of God's love in your life, then you'll see it when it comes. Then Jesus mentions those individuals who, for this, that, or another reason, choose not to remain vigilant. They get tired of waiting around for what they seem to believe is nothing because they're not getting that immediate payoff. They get impatient and decide that they'd rather have fun raiding the food and the drinks in the pantry, drinking a bit too much of the wine in the reserves, and they wind up abusing the servants that they are supposed to be taking care of and supervising. Notice how they went from a state of being told, you need to be vigilant and be on the ready at all times, to then quickly becoming impatient, to then just doing whatever they wanted, which devolved to hurting those that were in their care. And they get so wrapped up in this idea of, well, I just want what I want right now, that they fail to even remain aware of when the Master gets back. They're like that high school student that throws a party in the house when the parents are gone, when they've been specifically told not to do it, and then all of a sudden they're realizing pretty quickly, my parents are coming home early and the party is still in full swing. Right? They were so busy wanting an immediate payoff that they weren't thinking far ahead. Needless to say, there are some consequences that happen as a result of their lack of being ready to receive their Master. So all of this talk about remaining vigilant for the Master to arrive, whenever it is that the Master will arrive, well, I told you last week I was going to spend a couple weeks talking about stewardship. And usually when we think about stewardship, we think about, you know, money and giving to the church and tithing and what have you, and offering. Well, keep in mind that stewardship is more than just how you handle your money. It's also how you exercise handling responsibilities that you have been given, the roles you have been given, the supervision you have been entrusted with, the time you have, even your attention and your focus. However, given what we have learned so far in this parable, let us consider. When we make ourselves open and ready to receive Christ at any moment in our lives, because we've been practicing being aware, then we're also opening ourselves up to practice Christ's love, compassion, joy, and even generosity at any given moment in our lives. When it comes to tithing, consider it a practice of generosity and thanksgiving. The more we practice it, the easier over time it becomes, and the more receptive we will be to the Spirit when we are moved to give generously in any given moment. I'm sure that we've all been in some moment in our lives where we felt the Spirit kind of tugging at us. Here's an opportunity to give. And how often have we thought, yeah, I got $20 in my pocket, but at the same time, I might need that for later, and we held on to it instead. Because it was hard for us to give up even just a little. But then there's been those moments too where we said, yeah, I got that 20 in my pocket. I don't need it. I'd rather share love in this moment than hoard for something that I may or may not need down the road. Okay. When we practice being receptive on a consistent basis, we influence and can even change our way of thinking and how we react to situations. When we practice spending our money on things consistently, then we're not developing a mindset of saving or giving, we're developing a mindset of consumerism. When we practice keeping for ourselves exclusively, we do not practice a mindset of gratitude and charity. We're practicing and more instilling in our minds, I have to keep it for myself. I have to keep it for myself. No matter how much or how little, I have to keep it for myself. But when we practice giving, whether it be tithing, or frequently going out of our way to find opportunities to give, when we practice giving, we develop a mindset where charity, compassion, and generosity with our money becomes a kind of second nature over time. It becomes, oh yeah, I got a fiver. Here, I'm fine. I'm good. I don't need it. I can see that you're in more need of it than I am at this moment. And so when we come across that moment in our lives where we see that individual that might be in need, we go through that McDonald's drive-thru and realize, you know what, I see there's a family in the car behind me, I might as well chip in, just say, whatever. Might as well be helpful in that moment. That moment we realize, hey, there's a box for socks and underwear to give to missions, why not? The more we practice generosity, the more second nature it becomes. And when we practice generosity, we are practicing an awareness of when the Spirit moves within us to give and to show love in that way. When we practice being generous on a frequent basis, we are more likely to show the love of Christ when an unexpected moment arrives. And in those moments, we are given the opportunity to spontaneously be the hands and feet of Jesus. So not only when we're practicing these disciplines of the Christian faith, not only are we making ourselves more aware for when love impacts us, we're making ourselves more aware for those opportunities where we get to be the love of Christ and impact others. We are called to be a generous and loving people. After all, Jesus said to his disciples, you're going to be known as my disciples by what? How you love one another. And how we utilize our resources, how we give, is one way in which we show love. Otherwise, birthdays wouldn't be so much fun, would they? So may we be a people who instill in ourselves a practice of giving and generosity so that others might experience the love of Christ in their own lives as well. Let us pray. God, we come before you this morning thankful for this opportunity that you've given us to gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ, to lift up your name in prayer and praise, and to hear these words from the gospel being read and shared aloud. Lord, as we move forward, may we be a people that know what it is to constantly practice generosity, and in so doing, not only open ourselves up to experience love, but open ourselves up to be the example of love for others in the world. Lord, we love you and we trust you, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will
Through days of toil when heart doth fail,
God will take care of you.
When dangers fierce your path assail,
God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day.
Until we meet again, my friends, may the road rise up to meet you, the wind be always at your back, the rain fall soft upon your fields, and the sun shine warm upon your face. And as we go from this place today, may we practice these practices of the Christian faith, these disciplines, so that we might be more aware of not just those moments when God's love intersects in our lives, but for those moments where the Spirit is prompting us to be the hands and feet of Christ, to be that love of Christ in others' lives as well. And now all the time, as you're remaining diligent and vigilant in that, that you're being held in the palm of the Almighty's hand. Amen.